Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Terry. We got the band back together, and we got the best listeners in radio with us to get everybody ready for the weekend, and we're going to let you know what the forecast is looking like. Brittany Merlot joins us. Britt, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you? Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday.
Happy Friday,
hey,
everybody.
Hey, we're not taking rain, so.
So it's going to make a real short forecast for Brittany here. This is gonna, we're going to make it real easy for you today, Brittany. Keep out. Just go ahead and censor rain from
your
forecast.
Sorry, I just have a soccer game I need to be at tonight. I'm getting sick of sitting in the wet.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're going to be sitting in a bit more of it, aren't we, Brittany?
Yeah, we are. I mean, if I censor the word, you know, that R word, we're only going to talk about this morning and then maybe tomorrow morning. Otherwise, that R word is in there.
Yeah, next couple of days.
Okay, fine.
Okay, I'm allowed to. Okay, I'll swear on air now. I'm just kidding. Yeah, so we've got this two systems headed our way. It's really complex. A lot of things are going to be happening over the next, goodness, probably until Monday afternoon is when all of this will push on out of here. So by about 3 o'clock or so, we could see some scattered sprinkles start to push in. So obviously the sun is going to become less and less as we push to the afternoon. By about 5 o'clock, we are going to see some light to moderate rain, widespread, really ramping up throughout the evening. We're looking at anywhere from a quarter of an inch to a half an inch from this first round. So expect it to be raining from after work and school through the overnight, then tomorrow when you wake up. I don't think there's going to be much rain out there. We could actually see some pockets of some sunshine, and temperatures are going to be so nice. This is the good news of the weekend. We're going to hit highs in the mid-70s tomorrow, and the further south you are, they could tap the 80s down along the southern state line. It is going to be feeling like summer. So summer is going to happen, right? In the afternoon and evening hours, showers and thunderstorms are going to form, and some of those could be strong to severe. Mainly in the southern half of the state, but I can't say that we're not going to see a possibility of that. I think our main risks for tomorrow night will definitely be some large hail. And then if there is tornado warnings out there, just keep an eye on those because they could track into our area as well. So that is Saturday night. We're going to see some heavy, heavy downpours of 1 to 2 inches of additional rain Saturday into Sunday. Sunday is going to be a widespread, heavy, drencher, soaker kind of vibe. Few embedded severe storms are possible. More rain continues into Monday, unfortunately. Like I mentioned, until Monday afternoon is when the system is finally going to leave us. So get the umbrellas.
Inflate your life raft.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're gonna want to build an ark. Yeah, you're gonna want to build an ark. Did anybody else catch when Brittany was talking about it? It will be summer. Like she was willing the weather. She's willing it to.
I'm like,
be.
What time do we have to get up tomorrow to experience this? Like, is it super early?
From 5 to 5:15 tomorrow morning, you've got some summer weather you're looking for.
You are very generous this weekend.
I appreciate that so much. I love the way you do the forecast, Brittany. Don't change a thing. Appreciate you. Have yourself a great weekend, Brittany. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll get people ready for next week on Monday.
Yes, take care. Stay dry.
You too. She's the best. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning right here in this time slot. We appreciate her joining us. Appreciate you being here, Terry. Thanks so much for the time. We're going to get everybody ready for the weekend. Talking the NFL draft and nothing else.
No, I'm joking.
That's all I want to talk
about. I think my husband's phone was like blowing up last night with his friends, all their thoughts about the Packers pick. So
Yeah. I wish it was playmakers. I am not going to lie to the audience.
I do not.
I am here. I am with you all, and I am engaged.
I know, you're charged up.
But in the back of my brain, that's all I'm thinking about is the NFL draft. We do have bigger things to talk about today. We're going to get into a bunch of fun stuff. We got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. It's pretzel day, so we're going to touch on that in a moment. Also, America is divided And in this political year, we have to cover certain topics, Terry. Having a mind like yours and a a perspective like yours, I appreciate. So we will tackle what America is most divided on, and that is whether or not to wash new clothes before wearing them. We're going to tackle that subject. We are not afraid to tackle the hard subjects.
I've got some of each in my house.
See? It's a controversial house
it,
you got
it
there.
It is.
You got a real
I know.
Purple house.
We are pushing the limits, man.
Well, we'll get into, as Brittany was talking about, reminding us that it is spring, and I dropped my pen. Spring clean. We have four ways to clutter. Can clutter affect your health? How clutter affects your health. We'll get into that a little bit. And how you can clean up a little. So we'll get into some of that stuff. All of that is fun, but I'd like to kick things off with talking the United Way with you, Terry, and catching up on how things are going with you and the team over there.
Yeah, so we have had a super busy week. This week is when agencies in the community present program funding proposals. So yeah. We do face-to-face presentations with programs. And so basically we're a zero-based funder. So each funding cycle, programs have to reapply. So
what does a zero-based funder mean?
Yeah, so instead of saying, you know, you're a great program, we love you, you're doing great work, you have measurable outcomes, we're just going to fund you indefinitely.
Gotcha.
We fund on a calendar year. Hmm. So each year, programs need to come back and say, you know, hey, here's where we're at. And yeah, and what's important about that is we use volunteers to help guide the funding decisions. And these are all... they are volunteers, but they are also donors. So they have, you know, skin in the game, so yes, to speak, if yeah. we want to use, you know, phrases. But we have three different panels. So each day Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, local programs came and, you know, talked to us about why, you know, we should continue to fund them. We did have a couple of new programs come to the table and, you know, talk about that. We've been very fortunate that our campaign has at least maintained steady, right? And we're hearing from a lot of agencies that are coming in front of us saying, you know, well, this funding source has cut back. This funding source has dried up, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's challenges out there. So we're fortunate that we've been able to at least maintain, but then that also kind of means that we still have about the same amount of money to invest, you know, in these programs. So we don't necessarily have more. On a good note, we don't have less, right?
Yes,
like we can say, hey, you know, we've funded you at this level in 2024 mm-hmm. currently. You know, we can do that again for 25. But so the way that the process works is, back in February, they filled out applications. Then we got those applications to our volunteer panels. They read through all of those, which is really tough work. You know, yeah. I mean, it's a lot to take in and it's a lot to seek to understand. We went out and visited all the programs. Then we asked them questions, right? So we sent them all of the panel submitted questions. We sent them to the agency. They send their responses back. We get those to the panel members. So by the time they came in front of them face to face this week, they've already had three interactions with them. So that's really awesome. And then those panels had to do really tough work after listening to the presentations is they really just have a discussion, a deliberation, we call it, about, you know, if we could fund one program, which one would it be? If we could fund two, if we could, and this is, you know, all recommendations. Then next week, the Community Impact Committee of our board will consider all of those recommendations and actually, you know, kind of tie it up with a nice little bow based on the amount of dollars that we have, right? Because the panel might have really loved a program and recommended more than what we have to give or, you know, whatever. So they'll look at it from the perspective of the whole funding pattern and all three different areas of funding. Then May 8th, it'll be presented to our board of directors. And then pending that approval, agencies will be notified. And this is something that I really love about our process. You know, people might not always get what they ask for. They might not, you know, but by the third week of May, we're able to go to programs and say, here's what you're going to get from us in January. And it's so appreciated, the ability to budget and plan, and if they have to adjust, if you know what I mean, like it's quite remarkable that we're able to do that. And then of course we're tasked with then we need to raise the money because starting in August we need to raise that money that we just promised to everybody.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a really exciting time of year for us to be, you know, entertaining all of these programs and thinking about where the greatest need is in our community, where we can make the greatest impact with the dollars that we're collected. And of course, you know, there's levels of expectation, right? Like the program asking for money has to provide – You know, how are we going to measure success? What are the outcomes going to be? How are we going to measure those? And then we do ask for anybody who's funded reports back on a quarterly basis.
You know, one of the, this year, I guarantee everybody, you especially, that during the United Weekend event, and we encourage you to go to uwswac.org and sign up your team for United Weekend event and meet us at the rafters this year. I will spend at least 5 or 10 minutes between two things trying to decide which one should get this vote or not and everything. And not that many people, it's a fun thing and stuff, but there's not a lot of pressure or a lot of, stakes on that or anything. And I will still stand there for a good 5 minutes of my life and just try to figure out which one I should vote for. I can't even begin to imagine what it's like to be on one of those panels and making those decisions. I can only imagine that if you were on that panel, if you were working with the United Way, you care about this community and you want to say yes to everything. You want to be able to help everything from one person to 1,000 people. Having to make those decisions is, I mean, first off, appreciate the transparency. Always do. And certainly appreciate the effort that you and that team makes and everybody puts into that. I cannot imagine that that is an easy decision to make, that is something that is just, there's so many different factors that have to go in, I imagine. And for everything that you are able to do, knowing you the way I do, I can only imagine there are things that you wish you could do that you're not always able to. It's why we encourage every campaign season for people to give it what they can, why we implore our so many other people to be a part of things at the United Way, whether it's volunteering or it is dollars and cents. You're making an investment in your community like no other when you are working with the United Way.
Yeah, it's a very humbling experience, but it's also, you know, we jokingly say to those volunteers on each panel, you know, you're tackling the toughest volunteer opportunity that we offer. It just is. You know, I mean, it takes so much thought and care, and unfortunately, you know, we have to prioritize, right? Like that's just how it works. It's easy to weed out the programs that, you know, don't give us measurable outcomes and don't meet the standard of programming.
Museum, Terry, it would sell. You guys just got to hear me out on that. I got to work on it a little bit harder. I understand.
But it's just, you know, it's, I don't know. There's just something about it that it's a huge responsibility, but also a great opportunity. You know, and I think that all of those volunteers take it very seriously. And while we're talking about volunteers, today from noon until about 1:30, but it's kind of while supplies last. Ben from our team is going to be leading a little volunteer appreciation. So we're doing a little drive-through event. So if you've been a volunteer for United Way or United Way program in the last year, we invite you to come over to, we're using St. John's Church, which is right across the street from the United Way office, as a drive-through kind of event. And we just have a little token of appreciation. This is National Volunteer Week that's wrapping up right now. And so just a drive-through, and like I said, just a small token, but it was just, you know, something that we could do to say, hey, another way to say thank you and that we appreciate volunteers.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's from noon until 1:30 today. If you come, you should get onto Oak Street somehow. I don't care what direction you come from, but we will be out there directing traffic. But basically, you'll be driving through the St. John's parking lot, and then Ben will be at the end of the rainbow. It's not going to rain until after we're done.
No.
But you know, so it's just going to be a little drive-through, and like I said, we just have a little token of appreciation. But I will be out there, you know, in a yellow vest. Don't hit me.
Yeah, please don't. Please don't.
Or Stephanie or any other member of our staff.
Yeah.
But you know, that's just the plan. And like I said, it's just meant to be a fun thing. We've got, you know, a couple hundred items that we can hand out, but it will be, again, like I said, while supplies last. So just, again, small token and really saying, you know, how much we truly appreciate volunteers and anyone who has volunteered for us in the last year.
And to all those volunteers or those that wanted to volunteer out there, keep in mind as well, 2-1-1 is a great resource to go to if you are looking for opportunities to volunteer or ways you can put back into your community. Give our friends at 2-1-1 a call and find out more about the things Terry and I have been talking about at uwswac.org. Be sure to bookmark that webpage and keep up to date on all the things your United Way is up to. uwswac.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. We'll get to our quick break, come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Terry and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR.
Tonight is my birthday.
That was weird.
Tonight is my birthday.
Nothing weird happens here.
No, never. Especially on a Friday when you and I get together. It's time, everybody.
Wait, no, this is the norm. This is normal. Hello.
Actually, you're right. This is normal. You're right. Welcome to the Elk Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club, everybody. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to celebrate you. And our great friends over at Elk Cafe encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over there right now. They're at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wishing everybody a great weekend and a good Friday. Head on over there to Elk Cafe with some of the great food that they got, the great atmosphere that they have, and the people. You're the people are the best over there. Wish them a good morning from all of us. Get us your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We love celebrating with you. Send them to info@WFHR.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages as well. And, of course, call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. We appreciate you joining us. Go ahead and call us up. Love to hear from you. Let's go ahead and dive right in, because we don't just celebrate today. No, Saturday and Sunday as well around here. So, Terry, I need a 1 through 3.
3.
All right. Gives us that one. And then I need a 1 or a 2. Or a 1, actually.
How about a 1?
I'm sorry. Said it. Nicely done. Nice job. I meant on Sunday, I need a 1 through 3.
2.
Okay. Gives us that qualifier. So we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Ken Porter.
Happy birthday, Ken.
Happy birthday, Ken. Enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you. We also want to wish a happy 55th anniversary to Ron and Marge Gauze.
Happy anniversary.
55. That's beautiful, you guys. That is beautiful. Celebrate all weekend long. Enjoy your 55th. Wishing you a great one. That hits my romantic heart. That's beautiful. And we wish a very happy birthday to our qualifier today, Father Joe Swing.
Happy birthday, Father Swing.
Yes, happy birthday, Father Swing. We wish you a great day. Hope it's a good one for you. We appreciate you. You're our qualifier for today. We move on to Saturday, April 27th, where we want to wish a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Kim Simmons.
Happy birthday, Kim.
We hope you have a great day, Kim. Enjoy your day. And I also want to take a moment to wish a very happy birthday to James Kevin Mailoff, my son.
Oh, happy birthday. How old?
My son is going to be...
totally put you on the spot.
No, he's going to be 24. It's actually really easy.
I'm sorry, how old? I was laughing.
My son was born in 99, okay. And my daughter was born in 2000.
Oh,
so
cheater.
I have no excuse to forget their birthdays. Yeah, or how old they are,
I should say. Happy birthday to him.
Yeah. He's the best. My son just graduated about a year or so ago from the University of Minnesota in neurology. He is up there right now. Got his first apartment. He's living his life, doing his thing, and working in a nonprofit, doing a really good job up there, doing some incredible work up there, I should say. I could not be prouder of that young man. And if you ever see a picture of him, you will see what I wish I would have looked like my whole life. Like, the kid's got... he's got me beat on the he was smarter than me when he was young, so we already lapped me on that one. But the looks, the kid, it's not fair, Terry. It's too handsome. It's not fair. It's got style for days. I love the kid.
I love it. Okay, I have one to add for tomorrow, too.
Oh, great.
So I want to wish a happy birthday to Millie Huffman. So she would be my great aunt, my dad's aunt, but she is turning 90 tomorrow.
Oh.
So happy birthday to her. We're all celebrating a little bit later in May, but... yeah, happy birthday.
Millie, you are on the list. We're throwing you in there. And happy 90th to you. Happy 90th to you, Millie. And we also want to wish on Sunday a very happy birthday to April Johnson.
Happy birthday, April.
Enjoy your day, April. Wishing a happy birthday to Amy Weber.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Amy, enjoy your day. Hope it's a great one for you. And our qualifier on Sunday celebrating their 40th anniversary, Rick and Diane Smith.
Happy anniversary.
Happy 40th, you two. That's awesome. Happy congratulations on that one. That's a beautiful date. We wish you all happy birthdays and anniversaries out there. Enjoy, celebrate. Taking a look at our celebrity list real quick, because we got a couple of days to get through here. We have, first up, want to wish happy birthday to Channing Tatum, 44 for him. Woo-hoo. Magic Mike, 21 Jump Street, Hateful Eight. Good actor. Good actor.
It's easy on the eyes too.
Yes. very fearless actor too. Like if it's asked of him in the scene, he's gonna do it. Cool. He's not one of these guys that has an ego or a diva or anything like that. Like, he is willing to go all out on these roles. And when you are kind of known for your jaw or your looks, you don't see that all the time with a lot of actors or actresses. I appreciate that he's one of those actors that, hey, what is the call? All right, tell me what to know. Do it. Let's see. Jordan Brewster is 44. Mia in the Fast and the Furious movies. Let's see. Tom Welling is 47. He was Clark Kent on Smallville. He was Kane on Lucifer. Good actor. He did a good job. Let's see here. Kevin James is 59, one of Adam Sandler's guys. Doug Heffermann on The King of Queens. Kevin and Kevin Can Wait. Paul Blart and Paul Blart, the Mall Cop movies. I like Kevin James.
He is hilarious.
He's another one of those fearless actors that just, you know, what if it's going to make you laugh, he'll do it. I like him. I appreciate his work. Jet Li is 61. Yin Yang in the Expendables movies. He was also in Cradle to Grave, Unleashed, Romeo Must Die, the Mummy, the Tomb Raider movies. Jet Li, one of the best action stars of all time. One of the things I like about Jet Li, and I've always liked action stars and like action movies, because I think that what a lot of people don't realize is how much work it actually takes to pull off those moves in those scenes when it's done right. I'm not talking about Steven Seagal standing still with 10 guys around him and he knocks them all out with one hand because he can't move well anymore or anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about guys like Jet Li or Jackie Chan or Bruce Willis or some of these guys that change for the role. They don't just play the same guy every time. What Jet Li does is take it to an even another level where he will change his fighting style or his martial arts style per character. He's known as knowing all the different martial arts. But like in a movie like Unleashed, he became more of a boxer and did more of that. So he adapts not just his character to the character, but he adapts his fighting style to the character.
That's awesome.
And it's really unique. I don't know many action stars that have ever done anything like that. And he's also actually a real-life action star. Like, he saved his nephew at one point. There was a horrible typhoon some years back. The building was falling apart. A wall was coming down. He swung over there, kicked his leg out to hold the wall while he got his nephew out of the way, shattered his leg to pieces. It held his career back for a while because of that moment, because he couldn't work or anything. Who wants an action star with a broken leg? But it's to the credit of him, not only obviously what he did there, but to the kind of person he is.
That's amazing.
He's not just a great actor, and he's 61 and he's still out there doing this stuff too. That's noteworthy. Here's one of our guys. Robert Taylor is 64. Duran Duran. Robert Taylor, one of the more popular members of Duran Duran, of course. The Reflex, A View to Kill, Rio, Hungry Like the Wolf, The Wild Boys, New Moon on Monday, Come Undone, Ordinary World. So many hits from Duran Duran. Giancarlo Esposito is 66. One of the more popular actors in the world right now. Like, he's working all the time. He's in everything. He's giving Samuel Jackson a run for his money. And more power to him, man. This is how it works sometimes. He's been in the acting game his whole life. Pretty much. But it's just really been since he was in his, I'd say, late 40s, 50s, that he's been working a lot. I guarantee if you see a picture of him, you know him. He was in Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, Bugging Out. He was in Do the Right Thing. He was bugging out and Do the Right Thing. The Mandalorian, The Boys. He's been in a ton of stuff. He's a good actor, really good actor. It's just, this is why I tell so many people in the acting game that it's all about if you want to hang in there or not.
That makes sense.
He got this break now. He is more popular now and working more now than in the first 40 years of his life. Now he's turning jobs down. He never turned jobs down before, I guarantee you. But he's doing it.
He's probably getting tired.
Yeah, he's 66. Yeah, it's a crux of it. But you get older and you get a certain look and everything, and all of a sudden,
everybody wants you.
Yeah, take it. Then that's also part of the reason why I encourage actors grow old. Grow old. Do not fight. It doesn't help. First off, no, you're not fooling anybody with the plastic surgery or dye job. And second of all, that's not the work. Like, you're going to get more work if you just let yourself age naturally. And it's the actual fact. It's the weirdest thing about this game where you're kind of like, the theory is, you stay young forever.
Right.
But that's not really how you continue your career. You don't keep working that way. Actually, when you, especially for actresses, which is the really heartbreaking to me, but look at so many actors that got work done and you don't see them anymore. Renee Zellweger, one of the better examples, and I'm not picking on her. I think she's a very good actress who should be continuing to work. The only work she's gotten is playing roles of characters that have had work done. Like, we saw this with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Sure.
We've seen it with other actors too, where all of a sudden, hey, this is an incredibly talented, popular actor. Where'd they go? they got a little work done usually. And all of a sudden, every expression on their face is the same. And nobody wants to hire somebody like that because your job as an actor is to express.
So your face is supposed to move.
Yes, yes.
That's interesting.
It's something I work very hard on as an actor, moving my face. I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud to have grown up with a Nana and Papa that made darn sure that if I wanted to be an actor, I was going to learn from the greats. And one of those was Carol Burnett. Happy 91st birthday to the genius, the legend, Carol Burnett. Everybody pull on their ear. Everybody pull on their ear.
No.
It's a Carol Burnett thing. Every show I got to watch with my Nana and Papa, I laughed my tail off. Half the stuff I didn't know what I was laughing at because I was too young, but I enjoyed it and I thought it was awesome. And I pulled on my ear every episode.
Now, speaking of facial expressions, that's one of the things that I remember most about her. You know what I mean? Like, and I say having to watch that as a kid because I probably wouldn't have been my choice.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, her facial expressions to me, that's what sticks.
And when I talk about, you hear me use the word fearless a lot with actors and stuff. It starts with actors like Carol Burnett, like Lucille Ball. Like, that's where that comes from. Actors that were able to do that, to push that boundary. And Carol Burnett, there has never been and never will be another Carol Burnett. Happy 91st birthday to the comedy legend. She's going to be coming up a little bit later in our entertainment news. Take a quick look at Saturday and Sunday birthdays for you. Lizzo is 36 tomorrow.
She's still singing?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. Patrick Stump is 40, Fall Out Boy lead singer and guitarist. Let's see here. Sheena Easton is 65 on Saturday. Nice. Blast from the past.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of that name in a while. And then some people who would have been celebrating birthdays on Saturday. The great, we can't be doing this job, and I mentioned Casey Kasem, one of the legends of this industry.
Well, and of our, I mean, especially.
Yes.
The Countdown.
And yes, the Countdown, that was huge. Everybody was watching that. So many other things he did, but also for our generation, being the voice of Shaggy on Scooby-Doo.
That's true.
That was huge.
My biggest thing with him was always like the year-end countdown on the radio and making sure I had enough money saved up to buy enough cassettes. To record them. And
me
at
too.
That time, I had like a smaller like tabletop recorder that wasn't connected to a radio, right? So you had to position it next to the radio.
Yeah. Yeah, right there.
So when I finally had one that was the radio and the cassette player together, then you'd have to make sure everybody was quiet.
Exactly. You had to, yes. Oh, yeah. And never was I more forceful in our house than, everybody be quiet.
I know. And then it was like, I was recording all 100 of those songs.
I'm trying to get Wayne Chung. I'm trying.
I know. Kids are so spoiled these days.
Oh, yeah. They have no idea. No idea. Just download it. Just look it up and find everything. The great Coretta Scott King would have been celebrating a birthday tomorrow. Born in 1927, passed away in 2006. Martin Luther King Jr.'s widow. And Samuel F.B. Morse would have been celebrating birthday, of course, the inventor of Morse code, born in 1791. And then wrapping up with our Sunday birthdays, Jessica Alba is 43 on Sunday. Great actor. I know she doesn't really work anymore or anything, but I was like shouting her out because I admire what she's done. Mm-hmm. She wanted to be a mom. Mom. So she was worried about her career. She started doing creating something else, I think a clothing line or something like that. And that's what she's doing now. Yeah. More power to her. John Daly is 58 on Sunday. John Daly's only 58. That's a little crazy. More power to him. Keep going, John. There's never been you can make the argument. There certainly has never been a golfer like John Daly. You can make the argument. There's never been an athlete like John Daly. I mean, he's an original. He's an original. And with all of the different things you can say about him, an accomplished golfer. Like, he's good at mm-hmm. it, too. Like, that. It's one thing to have all these kind of side things about you known and all that stuff. It's another to be able to pull it off and do it. He's a talented guy. Let's see here. Harper Lee would have been celebrating a birthday on Sunday as well. Pulitzer Prize winning author of To Kill a Mockingbird. One of the greatest books I'll ever read. One of the greatest plays I'll ever be a part of. Big thank you to Harper Lee. That'll do it for our birthdays and anniversaries. Wishing everybody a great birthday and anniversary out there. One more time, JC, happy birthday to you, son. I'll be talking to you a little bit later. We will catch up soon. You guys catch up with some news, and we'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Ladies up in here tonight. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. I never really knew that she could dance like this. Terry and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Happy Friday to everyone out there. Get into a couple of fun topics here, Terry. But first off, it is National Pretzel Day. Happy Pretzel Day, everybody. I wanted to touch on real quick the history of the pretzel. Cool. I thought it was kind of interesting. An Italian monk teaching children in northern Italy is said to have invented soft little pretzels and called them pretzolia, or little rewards.
Oh, funny.
Isn't that great?
They're like little treats.
Yeah, yeah. To reward children for learning their prayers. He is said to have made the treats with little arms forming the knot to resemble little arms crossed of children in prayer.
Isn't that cute?
That's awesome. That's so cool. I love that. That is fantastic. And you're welcome, everybody. My people. No, I'm joking. I'm just kidding. pretzels are awesome. I love pretzels.
I thought they were French.
I'm
just kidding.
I would have thought they were something
actually,
more like
or
that.
German, like the German big Bavarian pretzels.
Thought. Yes,
yeah.
German, Dutch, something like that is easily what I would have done. I did not know that. It is National Pretzel Day. It's been a thing since Pennsylvania declared the holiday back in 2003, but pretzels themselves date back to the 7th century, as we informed you. Lots of pretzel places have deals, as always, including two big ones. Here's how to score a free pretzel. Auntie Anne's is giving out free pretzels, but you have to be a rewards member. And Wetzel's Pretzels has free pretzels starting at 3 o'clock today. Just walk in and get one, no questions asked. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary this year and preferred to call it National Wetzel Day. But their 30th anniversary, I'm guessing that's why they're starting it at 3 o'clock for the 30 in there. Otherwise, I don't know why you would start it seems like a really weird
unless
place
you just
to
honestly don't have, I mean, just capacity cost-wise, like you want to miss the lunch crowd.
Yeah, very smart.
Or get people smart in for like a happy hour kind of thing.
Spoken
instead.
As somebody who has had to do these kind of things, yes, yeah, you know what you're talking about. But that's pretty cool, and that is the history of the pretzel. Enjoy. Do you, listeners out there, 715-424-2600, you pretzel people, do you have a favorite way you like pretzels? I was joking on the Sunrise show. One of the things when I first moved out on my own that I lived on were those little pretzel kits you could get. It's just like one or two big pretzels. You could heat them
oh,
up.
Oh, the soft ones.
Yeah.
I love those with the
good
cheese, yes, dipped in the cheese.
Oh, so good.
Those are so good. But when you're thinking about like pretzels like in the bag, you know, that you buy by the chips and stuff, would you get the little sticks or the knots?
Oh, good question. I like the knots, but the sticks are all right. The sticks are all right. I'll take them.
I like them both, but you know, Schneider brand, I think it is, makes it's a square. It looks like a little racket, kind of. Those are good.
Let's try those. I don't think I've had those.
Yeah, they're good.
I like those. And Schneider brand, good
and
brand.
And people argue that dots are, I think, like people in my family like the dots one. You know, if you're getting flavored ones, those are their favorite. But
those are all right.
There's also something about the big, long pretzel stick dipped in chocolate.
Yes. It's so good. So good. Pretzels. Thank you, pretzels. We love you, pretzels. Pretzels are great. Got to get into this one. And again, 715-424-2600. While Terry and I certainly have a lot of opinions and feelings, and we're very passionate about this subject, we encourage you, we'll make the time for our audience as always. We want to hear from you as well. 715-424-2600. Where do we stand on this one, everybody? America is divided. We're going to try to help figure this out. Whether or not to wash clothes before you wear them when you buy these. Now, it's actually impressive that Americans are divided about everything. It's kind of it's hard to do when you think about it.
I think we got to try to find something that people aren't divided on.
Right, right. I think that would be more impressive. That that was always really cool to see. It's no longer that even that interesting, I think. America, half of America likes this, half of America doesn't. I mean, yeah, that's our country. That's who we are. It's part of, I think, what makes us a great country.
It's the old taste test, right? The Coke or Pepsi.
Yes, yes, yes. So in a new poll, people were asked if they wash newly bought clothes before wearing them. And 51% of people said nope, and 49% said yes. So pretty neck and neck.
That is like really close.
Yeah. I don't know many of these that we've done where it has been that close. And I find that just hilarious. I find it hilarious. And of all the things, we can be so neck and neck.
And you know what's interesting? There's no don't know on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually there's always a percentage
always,
that don't know.
Always. We are.
I'm just impressed with that alone.
That is a good point. That is a very good note on this. Some people also explain their answers. Yes, you don't know how many people have handled it. No, I should, but it's all downhill after that first wash. They're never the same. Yes, if they're bought in store. No, they're bought online and come in sealed product packaging.
Somebody had to put it in the package, if that's what their argument
right?
is.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, but only for undergarments and bathing suits. Yes, if it's in direct contact with my skin. Otherwise, no. Yes, I always find new shirts to be itchy and I haven't washed them. So you got quite a few different reasonings behind this that I think most people would know or understand if you've ever bought one piece of clothing.
See, and I honestly, for me, I don't really care. Like, I can just take the tags off and put it on. But where I get hung up is if it wasn't a bag, like they said, that's when I almost often wash it before I wear it because it has like weird creases in it or that kind of thing.
Yes.
But as far as just the, I have one in my house that it's the feel of the fabric. Like, it has to be washed before it gets worn.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it doesn't matter to me.
I like this last one. Yes, I saw it on an episode of House, except socks. Nothing stretches over my foot as nicely as a new, never-before-wear pair of socks. The episode of House they're talking about is from 05, and a patient almost died because their new, quote-unquote, new bootleg pants are contaminated with a toxin. Yeah, they're not real pants. They got them from, like, some guy on the side of the street and stuff. They're knockoff designer jeans. Literally, like, if you are buying anything knockoff, I mean, not only not wash it, but I'm not even sure how much you wanted that touching your skin. I don't know about that. It's a whole other subject. I'm very back and forth on this one. With boxers or something like that, I'm washing them. But shirts and all those things, other than the crease, I'm with you. I don't really
care.
It doesn't really bother me that much. If anything, I'm a little bit more with the person, what the person was saying earlier, that it's a little bit like a new car. Like, as soon, that after that first wash, it doesn't feel like the clothes are ever the same. They are, but they're not. It doesn't feel like they are in some way. So, I don't know. I don't know. What I also didn't get from this list is the actual scientific answer. Like, is there an actual
reason? I don't think there is one.
And I couldn't find one. I looked this morning, and there is no set yes or no answer.
One other thing that I, you know, for me, it's like goofy creases. But then also sometimes if it has been packaged or however it was shipped, sometimes it has like a smell to it. You know, like from the dyes or from the containers or something.
Yeah.
Then obviously, I mean, if I hold it up to my nose and I notice it, it's different. But otherwise, I mean, hey, I'm good with go buy a new outfit and put that sucker right on.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, I don't get that much new clothes. I mean, if I do, chances are I want to wear it. I got it. I want to wear it. And a lot of stuff that we order nowadays is online, so we're waiting a little bit for it. By the time we get it, we're excited to wear it. That being said, the online clothes buying thing has given us a whole new world of fears and concerns. You really have to be careful where things are coming from because of the size of things. This is years ago, but I ordered a shirt that I was so excited about, and it's from Amazon, so it's sure, of course, it should be here any day now, but it was taking weeks and weeks, and it was coming from China. And the shirt size that I chose was very different than the shirt size that I got.
You missed the conversion chart?
Yeah. My fur brother loved the shirt, though. Sammy was the only one that could fit in that shirt. He loved it. It's a whole different set of things that you have to
And you're definitely not sending it back when it has to go. You know what I mean? Like, it's not worth it.
No. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Got to sing a lot. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good day out there. Thanks for joining us. Happy Friday, everybody. Let's get into this one, Terry. This should be interesting. We're talking about spring cleaning. You probably didn't know this, but today is Get Organized Day. And if you need more motivation than that, here are four ways to clutter, four ways clutter can affect your health.
You know, I'm kind of busy today.
Yeah, but this stuff might be worth making the time for.
You know, Monday is our spring cleaning day at work, so that's
nice.
Very interesting of the timing.
It is. It is. Now, I've talked about this a couple of times on the air with the articles we've gotten, and it's something that I've even talked about in my personal life because I never thought about this before. I'm a bit of a neat freak. I like things being clean, but I'm not crazy about it. And as a dad, I understand that, you know, when you have kids, all that goes out the window. You do your best. You do your best. You try.
Like, it's clean, but it's still messy, right? Like, kids have stuff all over, but it's still clean.
Yeah. Do the kids have clean clothes? Yes. Okay. That's a big check mark. All right. I got that done.
Faces.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But what I didn't realize is in my own personal life and at work here at these things, how much organization really helps our brains. Our brains don't deal well with clutter. No matter who you are out there, whether you're a very organized person or you're the opposite of a neat freak or what have you, you're a pig pen, any of that stuff, your brain just likes less clutter. It operates better. It's something that is our brains have always been and always done, but we haven't always acknowledged because it's not always possible. CC the kid thing. so we do our best. But it is interesting, hopefully more motivational to hear of these things that can be improved just by picking up, just by having a little bit less clutter. It affects your sleep. Studies have found that the quality of your sleep is worsened when your bedroom is a mess, your house is a mess. You may not think, well, I don't worry about that. I'm not laying in bed worrying about it. Your subconscious is. Your subconscious is doing it.
And to me, that kind of picks up on, like, if I'm at home and trying to just relax.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always thinking like, oh, but I should get that little laundry in, or oh, I should do this, or I should do this, or I should do that. You know what I mean? Like, I can't handle that.
Me neither. Yeah. It makes your allergies worse. If your place is unorganized and cluttered, then you're probably not dusting regularly. And a lot of people who think they're allergic to pollen actually just need to clean and dust more.
I mean, who likes to dust?
Yeah, right. I've always been the duster, no matter where I am, no matter who I'm with or whatever. So I just kind of do it.
Do you put that on your dating profile?
It's on my dating profile and my resume. Duster.
Anytime I see dust here, now I'm going to write my name in it.
it makes it hard to focus. Yes, this should be number 1A or 1B. When there's too much stuff lying around, your brain can't decide what to focus on because there's too much visual stimuli. It makes it harder for you to focus on anything.
Well, and that's sometimes when there is too much. That is true. I agree with that. Then I'm just like, well, forget it.
And so much
I'm not going to do any of it.
Right. So much of this stuff can, it is a subconscious thing. It is not something that you're necessarily registering in your brain. It is something that's going on in there that you may not even realize. And finally, it can mess with your mental health. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, hoarding and holding onto possessions will be well beyond their intended use, can have severe emotional, physical, social, and financial effects. It literally affects everything. Even finances get in there.
I will say, though, clutter is different than hoarding. Hoarding is different.
We have come a long way on this subject. Years ago, there were shows about clutter,
about
hoarders.
Hoarding. Yeah.
And those, I don't know if those shows are still on or not.
I have no idea.
But I never watched them. I had a girlfriend that did, and it always made me uncomfortable. Because it seemed like her and people that watched them were just watching to kind of like point and maybe whether they're laughing or not, but pointing and looking like, oh, look at this person. Oh, look at what that's mental health, man.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah. I feel like it doesn't take a big leap, brain wise to realize there's a mental health issue there.
Being messy or cluttered is way different than hoarding.
Yeah. There's nothing that should be taking it for entertainment use out of something like that.
I
find that really, really tacky.
You walking around with a dust cloth. I mean,
that's funny. That's just funny.
That's entertaining.
It's very entertaining, especially
the tops of my ceiling fans need to be done.
Yeah.
I'm a little short.
I cannot tell you how many ceiling fans I have dusted off in my life.
Just telling you.
I'm not. I wouldn't.
No one
be surprised.
At my house is, jumping to do it. Since you like to dust.
I wonder if I'm not, if I don't even have dust in my DNA by the time, like I've been doing it since I was a kid. I've always been tall and lanky, so I've always been able to reach those things. Whether it was my nana, my mom, my grandmother, a girlfriend, I've always been the duster. I don't know. And I'm not even that good at it. I'm not even that great at it either. So I don't know,
didn't ever come behind you.
No, they didn't check. They didn't check my work.
White glove in your work.
Should have checked my work. It's not very good.
No, because that was probably intentional. So you'd get kicked off the job.
Yeah.
Halfway dusting.
People saw right through that one. Yeah, people definitely, and because of the people, all the people I just mentioned, much smarter than me.
I always say that. Do it like I would do it, not how you do it. Do it how I would do it.
Man, whenever my mother, I could hear my mother saying that when you said that. So I've had a couple of other stories I wanted to touch on. Just a fun one here, like this Maryland woman. This is an interesting one. Maryland woman wins a $50,000 after boyfriend urges her to buy lottery ticket.
Oh, wow.
He always says, just play. It's only a couple of bucks, the winner told Maryland Lottery. The woman dubbed only winner because of the area in Maryland that she won this in, said that she just never really does this kind of thing, but her boyfriend has always encouraged her to, so finally she gave it a try. She goes, quote, I thought this has to be a glitch when she won. She says, oh, this is to be a glitch. No way. Her mom confirmed the win with another scan of the ticket. She said she plans to use her winnings for a vacation with her daughter and continue buying tickets on occasion.
Forget the boyfriend.
Nothing about the boyfriend. Nothing mentioned.
I mean, she doesn't owe it to him. It was a suggestion.
It's a boyfriend, not a husband. There's that. But he
might be going on the trip too.
It's hilarious to me. The article, and this isn't bad reporting or anything. You can check out the article at upi.com. They mentioned the boyfriend in the headline, and that's it.
Yeah,
like that's the only time it's mentioned. It's kind of funny. I can't imagine if I'm in that situation being, you know, any other way than, hey, good for you kind of thing. But I can also imagine that this could lead to some interesting conversations between the two of them. I can only imagine.
You know, I'm not a lottery ticket buyer.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't. But my husband buys a Powerball almost every week.
Mm.
And you can bet I'd get my half. I'm just kidding.
Right. It is a whole different story.
But I don't know. And maybe it's just because he does, but that's just not my thing. But, you know, the whole idea where this boyfriend was like, oh, it's just a couple of bucks. But everybody's thoughts around a couple of bucks are different. I bet she plays more often now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet you.
Now that she's got a little taste of it.
Terry, I want to remind everybody that you guys have a wonderful thing you're doing over at St. John's today with the United Way.
Yep, so we'll just be right across the street from the United Way office on Oak Street. From noon until about 1, we'll be doing a little volunteer recognition drive-through event. So if you volunteered for United Way in the last year, we encourage you to come on over. You don't even get out of your car. It's just a drive-through, and Ben will be there with just a small token of appreciation as we wrap up National Volunteer Week.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys doing that. I think that's really cool. Find out about great ways you can put back into your community by calling 211 and looking for volunteer opportunities, or by following along on the United Way's website, uswswac.org. Be sure to bookmark that page and keep up to date on the United Way on all your social media accounts. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR.